Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come before the people of God. God has ordained this, and we know it because we keep coming back, and we afforded the privilege week after week to gather as we explore the words of God together. Well, tonight is the 4th of July, and in the United States of America, it is a national holiday. But we're here to explore the words of God together. As always, I just want to thank each and every one of you for calling in week after week and allowing God to give you illumination and revelation through the Word of God. I have often said that I can only give information, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives illumination and revelation. Tonight, the title of our lesson is Your Light Shining? Is Your Light Shining? We are coming from the book of Philippians. For those who have your Bibles and those who don't, I pray that you get it. We're coming from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 15. As always, we get ready to do our program. Well, when I get ready to do my program, I always like to play a song. And the song I'm going to play tonight is Where Would I Be? Listen to the song and be prayerful about our Bible study that's going to take place on tonight, and ask God to open your ears, your heart, and your mind that you can receive what the Spirit is going to say. So I'm going to play the song right now, and I'll come back, and we'll go to the throne of grace in prayer. And after that, we'll go into the Bible study and allow the Holy Ghost to teach us. And here's the song.
What kind of God can make a morsel of snow fall from a gray sky? What kind of God can weave tapestry of a rainbow, sketch it into a wet sky? It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? And create a skyscraper tall. What kind of God can use a pattern of color, give it a name like fall? It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. And if it hadn't been for you, I'd be at the bottom when you told me there's a place at the top for me. I'd be on the back side when you showed me there's a place in the front I should be. I'd be on the outside looking in when you prepared me a table for king. If it hadn't been for you, with unconditional love. What kind of God can take away my guilty shame and give me grace to rise above? It's no wonder how you can do every little thing you've done for me. If it hadn't been for you,
hearing that song, we should all ask ourselves the question, where would we be without Jesus Christ? You know, I often look at people in the world and people around the world and, you know, atheists and people who don't believe Christ is the Savior, and I wonder, how do they make it through the day? Evidently, they lean into their own understanding, and they believe they're making their own way, and they could do it on their own. But they're going to have a strange and powerful awakening if they don't decide to choose the only true Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. And on this 4th of July night, anyone who would like to pray can press the one button on their phone. You know, over the years that I've been doing this program, and it's almost 6 years, I often ask the viewers if they would like to still have Bible study if the Wednesday fall on a holiday. And each time the answer was yes. So tonight we hear 4th of July, a holiday, and we're going to celebrate it with God. You see, you got to realize Satan don't take no holidays. He don't take no times out. He don't ask for personal leave because he understands that time is winding up. And he's trying to capture everyone that he can. And he used every opportunity he has to try to get you to accept his perception. Because he know once you accept his perception, you're not paying that much attention and it becomes your reality. And then if it becomes your reality, you look at it as truth. But Satan is not taking time out on 4th of July to see whom he may devour. And thank God that each and every one of you decided to call in so that we could participate in the Word of God together. God has given an opportunity for anyone who would like to lead us to the throne of grace at this time. You can press the one button on your phone, and I will open the mic, and you could pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you for each and every person that took time out of their busy schedule on a holiday to come and hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me, your servant, to be able to go before your people to share information and allow the Holy Ghost to give illumination and revelation. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon each and every person that called in or may be listening all around the world. Lord, bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Continue to hold them in your unchanging hand. Look down upon their families, their friends, their neighborhoods and communities, dear God. Provide the need that they're in need of. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just open our ears that we can truly hear on tonight. Open our eyes that we can see. And open up our heart that we can receive. Lord, we're here to be fed. We're here to hear from you, to hear what the Spirit has to say to us on tonight. And Lord, I got to be so careful because I have to give you praise, honor, and glory because you're such a good God. You're a merciful God. You're loving and you're kind and you're full of goodness, Lord, and you're long-suffering with each and every one of us. Lord, and I have to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for everything that you have ever done, your plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. Thank you for what you're doing for us right now, sanctifying us by the word of God daily. And, Lord, all of the promises that you promised to do for us. And thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want to thank you guys again. And we're going to go ahead and explore the word of God together. I don't know if you could hear it, but outside of my house there's firecrackers popping because they're celebrating the 4th of July. And we're going to give God the biggest bang we can tonight as we enter this lesson with a spirit of expectancy and let God have his way. So as we study this lesson tonight, you know, I always give you a little background. I pray that it's always helpful to you. But I want you to know when we study the book of Philippians, we should note that the author of the book is Paul. You know, we talk a lot about Paul. And every time I talk about him again, some of you may remember different things about Paul. Some of you, it may be the first time you hear it. And others, it may be delightful because you could see it in another aspect or you could understand Paul even more. You see, Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and these are called letters and epistles. Epistles and letters really are the same thing. And Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. Sometime you may look up and you see some theologians believe that it was 14 books. Because in the Bible, the book of Hebrews, the author is unknown. The book of Hebrews, the author is not stated in the Bible. So some people believe because of the style of writing and the words that are used that Paul wrote that book as well. So sometime you may see that he wrote 14 books and sometime you may see that he wrote 13 books. But that's the reason why. You see, this letter was written to the Philippians. the Christians that lived in Philippi. When you look at Paul's letters, you got to realize certain things. You know, he wrote Galatians, and he wrote Ephesians, and he wrote the Thessalonians, and he wrote all of these books. But really what he was doing was writing letters to the Christians that were there to give them instructions. They were either doing things right or they was doing something wrong or they needed clarity, and Paul was the man. So you see, he wrote to the Philippians, who was the Christians, and they live in Philippi. If he wrote to the Galatians, that was the people who lived in Galatia. You see, so that's where Philippians and Philippi and Galatians and Galatia, you know, that's how you could look at it. You know, that's the way the letters was formulated. That's why it was the Philippians and it was the people in Philippi. When we study the life of Paul, we see that it's a strange one. Paul was a Jew who believed his job was to persecute the Christians because he was taught in his religion, which was Judaism, and that was the Jewish religion. And, you know, even today, Judaism is still alive and well, and they still don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. And they believed it then, they believe it now. And Paul was a strong person in Judaism. His parents were Pharisees, and they were taught the law. So Paul believed when the Christians came and they began to talk about Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and they believed that he wasn't, they figured it was blaspheme against God, and they had to stop it by any means necessary. So Paul was a persecutor of the Christians, and he would go around and arrest them and beat them and even kill some of them. They say that Paul was there when Stephen was killed. Stephen was the first person martyred for his strong conviction of the gospel. They say Paul was right there looking. But you see, God worked in him for his glory, his will, and his good pleasure. And then he met Paul. Y'all know the story on the road to Damascus, and Jesus called out to him, and he answered, and he believed, and just as he was so aggressive persecuting the Christians because of his in Judaism, that's how excited he became spreading the word of God. You see, God probably looked at Paul and say, you know, Paul is serious. Paul take his job serious. He said, I could use somebody like Paul. So Jesus met him. But just like Paul didn't go looking for Jesus, Jesus came looking for him. And just like Paul, we didn't go looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for us. And that's wonderful. Here we see that God's master plan before the foundation of the world included Paul for service. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives for service. Each one of us has a perfect design, a unique design, a one-of-a-kind design. God created all of his people for service and for his glory. Christ presented himself to Paul. Paul accepted, believed, and confessed. And Christ became his Savior. You see, Paul's ministry for Christ began, and he started working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Here, Paul is giving us instructions on how to become a shining star and how to become a light in a dark world. You know, that's what the book of Philippians is leading up to, and Paul is trying to get us to understand what we should be in a dark world. Jesus is the light of the world, and the Bible asks us and teaches us to take on the image of God is asking us to take on the image of his son. If Jesus is the light of the world, we who have accepted Christ, born again, come on, y'all, and an heir and a joint heir, and we was created in his image, we should have light also. So if we look at the scriptures that's printed, we're going to go with Philippians 2 and 12 first. And hear what is stated. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in our absence. Paul is telling them and telling us the things that's in the Bible wasn't just for them. That's why God inspired the Bible. He chose 40 men from all walks of life to write the Bible, but all of the writing is inspired by God. And it wasn't just for them then, it's for us now. And what Paul is telling us right here is that we should work out our own salvation with trembling and fears. Here we see Paul is letting us know how we should act when we are in the church or out of the church. He was telling them, you know, this is how you should act when I'm present and when I'm not. You see, because he was telling them you should have true character. You see, character is something that you have when you do what's right when no one's looking. You just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You see, it's different from personality, because personality is like perfume. You could put it on and you could take it off, depending what time of day it is, or who company you in, or what you're trying to prove, or how you're trying to fit in. You see, that's personality. You see, Christ has given us the gift of salvation to enter eternity once we believe. But he has also given us salvation to be able to have a righteous life in his kingdom here on earth as we've been saved. Sanctified daily. You know, plenty of people look at salvation and eternity and they think of it as only having a purpose then. But I want to let you know that you're being saved daily. You see, you must know that God's salvation is not just for the hereafter, but it provides grace and mercy. It rescues us from danger, seen and unseen. It renews us, and it restores us here and now on earth in our daily life. So don't just look at salvation as one aspect of then. Look at the salvation of God right now. And as the scripture said, Paul said, each one of us has to work out our own salvation. I want you to know that sin cannot hurt your salvation if you're saved, but it can hurt and hinder your sanctification. You see, as the scripture state, we should work our own salvation because we're being saved daily. We're not working to be saved or to receive salvation because we already have it because our faith in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, our Redeemer. But we should work because we are saved. So you're not working to get saved if you're saved. But because you are saved and what Jesus has done, you should want to work. You know, James in the Bible said, faith without works is dead. He didn't mean that you have to work to be saved, but work because you are saved. You know, salvation is a gift from God. Grace is a gift. Mercy is a gift. Because we couldn't earn it on our own. And God set it up that way. It was a part of his master plan because he didn't want anybody to be getting a big head talking about how they saved themselves. You see, we should display Christian character with fear. The scripture said fear and trembling. And you see, when we say fear in reference to God, it doesn't mean like shaking in your boots and ducking and hiding because you're scared. The fear that they're talking about when they use it in a body is in reference to reverence to God. You should respect him enough. You should show him enough reverence is what that fear is talking about. You see, Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge. You see, when they was talking about trembling, he used that in the aspect that trembling, because we do not know all that is truly required of us to please God. So, you know, we're going to do our best, and we're going to still want to know if it was good enough. We want to know if it pleased him, if it gave him glory. You know, so we are always on God and on guard and conscious of pleasing our Lord. You know, we say fear and trembling because if you really love the Lord, you just want to get it right. You see, God no longer judge our sins, but our works. You see, and some people think that grace only came when Jesus came. But I want to let you know, even from the day of Noah, God provided grace and an ark of salvation for Noah and his family. See, grace has always been around. I used to wonder one time, and I said, if grace came with Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, how did the people in the Old Testament receive grace? If we look at Abraham, they say Abraham, you know, was just a good man, and God counted it as righteousness. And righteousness automatically granted him grace. God does not like sin. God's judgment against sin and sinners is real, and he demonstrated by the world flood. But here we see that God's grace was in operation before Christ. In working out our salvation here on earth, there will be sacrificial services required. There will be conflicts that comes against you when you didn't even do nothing wrong. People accuse you falsely. You know, even though you love the Lord, don't think that everything is going to be, you know, gravy all the time. Because we live in an evil world and evil is present. And evil does what evil do. And people are going to be just who they are. No matter how nice you are, no matter how much you give them, no matter what you do for them, they are who they are. You know, here on earth, there's going to be a lot of molding and shaping and testing and giving and painful growing. But you see, with God, all things are possible. And you have to trust, which is a part of the work. See, our work is not hard work. Part of the work is trusting. Part of the work is believing. Part of the work is taking God at his word. That's all that's a part of the work that helps you in your sanctification process. And, you know, you have to believe that he will work it out for your good. You see, working out your salvation is allowing God to do his work in you. That's why he said when he said, come unto me all that are labored, and I'll give you rest. You know, that's why the Bible said come as you are, and that has nothing to do with the way you dress. Whatever state you're in, God never told us to get ready and then come. So many people, when you invite them to church, I don't have the right clothes. you know, and I don't, I'm still doing things that I'm not ready to give up. And they believe that if they accept Christ, it's going to be so hard, which is just the opposite. You see, with Christ on your side, with you, and with him having his Holy Ghost living in you, it get easier and easier as the day is long. You see, part of the work is being obedient, because obedience produces faith, and faith, when it is solid, produces light. You see, faith gives us the confidence to shine in the midst of a storm. You all could think about somebody in your life that you know they are a rock, and you could think about them and you say, you know, no matter what happened, they still trust God. They still hold their head high. They don't give up, and they don't give out, and they don't, you know, just lay it down. But they, you know, because of their faith and the confidence, it'll make you shine in the midst of a storm. Now, I know everybody is human, and everybody take adversities, trials, and tribulation, you know, at different levels, and everybody react different. But the bottom line is the same. When those people, even if they take a time out because they got knocked down, a burden, or overwhelmed, when they do come out of it, they came out of it with the same information that they applied then. But I guess because of their weakness, they wasn't able to apply it sooner. But the answer is still the same. You see, if we learn to trust God and obey him, you will shine like a star, and your light will grow stronger each day. You know, the Bible says, let your light so shine that men can see your good works, and God will get the glory. So my question for you tonight is your light shining bright enough so that others can see it? That's the question. And if we look at Philippians 2 and 13, and for those of you, you know, who know something about me, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, because when I read this scripture years ago, it gave me freedom. It gave me rest. Because the scripture says, Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures. That let me know that it's not so much predicated on me, but it's how God operates within me. And I understood that my work was to allow him to have his way. You see, this scripture lets us know beyond a reasonable doubt who will enable us to work out our salvation, which is righteous living here on earth. It's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. But may, you know, the weapon may form, but they don't all prosper. How many times something come up against you and it looks so bad? So that's a weapon form against you, and you panic, and you can't see your way, and you get nervous, you begin to sweat, and then you go on, and it's all worked out for your good. See, that's God working it out for his pleasure, for his child, his way. And it's all right. It formed up, but it didn't prosper. You see, there are two significant results of Christ's death and resurrection. One, God is working in us and equipping us to do the kind of work that please him. You see, we were all created for God's service. All of us have service and work to do. Your work might not be mine and mine might not be yours, but you should be doing something. You see, we have the victory, so we just got to start acting like it. Don't allow allow the devil to have free rein in your head. You know, it's never the only place Satan could attack us in our head. I want to tell you tonight, if you know, be concerned about Satan, and you should be concerned because he is real. But if Satan could do more, he would have been killed all of us. You see, when we was out there wilding in sin, Satan could have came and took us in. Because, you see, we wouldn't have had a chance to be saved. But if he couldn't get you then, with all that you know now, all he could do is play in your head. So don't allow him to have free rein in your head. Because you got to remember, it's not what comes in our mind. It's what we do with it once it enters. Remember, you were created for God's glory. You know, you need to be encouraged because the working of your salvation is not much your work, but it's God. Second, you must work with fear and trembling because God is producing in you both to will, which means he gives you the desire, and to do, which means to actually accomplish it. See, God don't ask us nothing that he hasn't provided the provisions. God does not set you up to fail. God does not want us out here just trying to do tasks we're not able to do. God knew that man in and of himself would never be able to save himself if he lived to be 900 years like the men in the Old Testament. Because of the flesh that we are wrapped up in, flesh is always going to want fleshly things. And when they talk about the warfare, it's between the flesh and in the spirit. And sometimes the flesh winning, sometimes the spirit winning. All of these things that's not of God, is not of the spirit, is coming from the things of the flesh, which the flesh is defined in the Bible as the flesh of lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That describes the world, which Satan is the prince of the darkness. Hallelujah. God never desired anything from you that he didn't provide the provisions necessary for you to accomplish it. I say that all the time because I really want you to understand. God is never going to set you up to fail. You see, before the foundation of the world, God had his will in mind, and he created us for his good pleasure and glory. God is telling us that this is what I want. That's what God is telling us in the Word of God, all through the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, the 39 books in the Old Testament and all the 27 in the New. God is telling us, this is what I want. And then he say, here is what you need to achieve it. How could you lose with something like that? You see, because whatever you need, God got it. But you got to realize that there's something that you know you need to know, because all that God has for you and all of the ways he's trying to lead you and guide you and lift you up. But you got to do like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, you got to study to show yourself approved unto God. We have to study his word to know his will. How can you do the will of God and try to give him pleasure and know what is necessary for your light to shine if you don't know it? And how could you know it without going to the word? You see, he gave us a gift of salvation through his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, once we accept him, he allows his spirit, the Holy Ghost, to indwell in us, to teach us how to help ourselves and others. I tell you all the time, I'm only giving information. Holy Ghost is giving illumination and revelation. You see, he guides us in the way that we should go and comfort us in times of trouble. He convicts us when we're doing wrong and fills us with the hope in Jesus Christ, which allow us to rest and trust what God has done and is promising to do. Everything you have or anything you do is a gift from God given unto you. So don't ever think there's no area in your life or nothing you do or nothing you have or where you win and how you is perceived. Favor only comes from God. Wisdom only comes from God. They're gifts. You see, if you have a job, which is a gift, and if God doesn't supply health, which is a gift, you wouldn't be able to work. Praise his holy name. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift from God. And what we do with it is a gift to God for his good pleasures and glory. You see, God has not left us alone to deal with our struggles trying to do his will. He is beside us. He is within us. He promised to never leave us. Nothing that can happen to you can catch God by surprise. God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, the secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control and simply let him do his work. And before you know it, you will become a light in a dark world. And then if we look at Philippians 2 and 14, it says, do all things without mumbling, hallelujah, and disputing. You know, you could go to the church on Sunday, and if you stop by Sister so-and-so, she has so much to say, and you go by Brother so-and-so, there's always something that people have to say. Either they're talking about what's wrong, or listen, they're talking about what's wrong and that's what's right. You know, you very seldom hear just someone praising the pastor. And you got to remember, he's only a man. He's human. But you want him to be high up and do everything right. But he's human. He has the same flesh on his bones that you have. But we got to stop all of this mumbling and disputing. What, and this is the question, what do you have to mumble, dispute, and complain about? Remember, it's God that is working in you to will and do his good pleasures. You see, trust God to remove on your behalf in matters, no matter what state you're in. You know, have faith that God will and shall work it out for all of our good. We shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved, complaining about everything and everybody. And people who sell these complaints out of their mouth. You know, they say as a rule of thumb, it's easy to point the finger at somebody else because it usually makes the pointer feel better. And there's people who have to talk about the wrong or things that they see that's not right in someone else to make themselves look good. You know, people always judge the other sin, always judge the sins of others with more strikes than the sin that they're doing in their life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're so busy pointing out other people's sins, mumbling and grumbling and disputing about everything, Satan has blinded your eyes and you can't even see your sin. The Holy Ghost just came in at y'all. People always have to say something about what somebody else is doing. Look in the mirror. Fix that. And if you really are a servant of God and you really think you're better than these people and their decisions, then you should be on your knees praying for them. Stop the mumbling and grumbling and disputing. You see, God lets us know that this battle is not ours, it's his. And he want to tell you, the preacher that's in the pulpit, if he's doing something wrong, you know God could take care of that. It's not your battle. God say, I got that. God say, vengeance is mine. God say, let me handle it. He say, I'm the righteous judge. You see, God is always doing his part. And we should learn to be loving, peaceful, and patient. First of all, with ourselves. And then with others. That's the only way we could shine as a star. And I want to tell you on this particular scripture, don't let your light be clouded, or dim by complaining and arguing like those living in darkness. You have to realize you are a new creation, and he created you to be a creation of light. And this is just thrown in. Please don't let someone else make your light go out. I've seen plenty of times people who are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and somebody rub them the wrong way, and they say, they don't know me. And they let that old man rouse up. Why would you allow something that God has delivered you from and pull it back up for a situation? I had to tell her, because I'm a grown woman. Don't let somebody else make your light go out. And our last scripture for tonight is 15, Philippians 2 and 15. They say that you may be blameless and homeless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among who ye shine as light in the world. You know, there's a scripture, I think it's Romans 12 and 2, that say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove what is the acceptable will of God. Think about that. When God created his nation, the Jews, the purpose was that he would be their God and they would be his people. And God was going to work with them and provide for them and give them, and they was going to be pleased by what God was doing for them. And they was going to work out their salvation, and they was going to do it with fear and trembling, as the scripture said. And the other nations around would see how God is working it out for his people, and they would want some of that. You see, they were supposed to draw other nations in. And just like today, we Christians are supposed, the church is supposed to draw darkness in, but darkness is pulling the church out. You see, when someone see you, will they see light or darkness? Do you represent God, the ruler of this world? You know, do your faith shine as you go through life learning and depending on God? You see, there's a scripture in Matthew 5. 14 and 16, Matthew 5, 14 and 16, that says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And 15 said, neither do a man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but he put it upon a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our essential mission as a Christian is to become a light in a dark world. Have your light ever brought someone to Christ? Can someone look at your life and see God working in and through you? Can someone in the dark see your light and want some of it? Some people, Christians, are so mumbling, grumbling, backbiting, and backstabbing one another. When you try to tell somebody, come to the church, I'm not going to that church, them people over there don't have light. That's just like, I was looking at TV, and it was the people that, it was the Mexicans who had been separated from their children, and, you know, the court has ordered them to give them back, but I'm sure they don't even know where they all at, because they probably didn't take time because they didn't care. But one lady received her child back the other day, and the child was reunited, and the woman was asked a question by the reporter, what would she tell the people back in Mexico about her experience in coming to the United States? She said, and I want to get it right, but I'll get the gist of it. She was telling them, don't come here, because this is a place that does not have a heart. And she didn't really say that, but like, you know, the saying, they mean and they unloving and they're not kind to do us the way they have done us. You see, so that's put a dim light. That put out the light for United States, where the United States was known when they put in God we trust and they live by the rules of the Bible to some degree. And they was a place of refuge, and they would take people in, and they used to treat them decent, but all of that is gone. So the light has gone out. Can someone in the dark see your light and want some of it? We are blessed, and we should know it, and we should act like it. God's greatest blessing is the gift of salvation through the death and burial and resurrection of his only begotten Son. And once we realize this, we can be a light in this depraved world, this depraved generation, this depraved nation. And as I close tonight, I want you to know, because God has blessed us unto salvation, nothing that comes our way should cause us not to shine. Remember, we have the victory. Don't be fearing people, places, or things that cannot take your life, that can block your salvation, because it can't happen. And if you're going to decide to worry about the right things, your eternal life is secured. And that's a reason to shine in itself. God needs you to shine bright in this day and time. He needs us. The brighter we shine, the more credit that God gets. God can get credit, you know, and, you know, his reputation can't be lifted up because of the way, you know, we act sometimes. And I didn't say you, but I said we. If you do as they do, you begin to look just like them. Simply allow God to work in and through you so that your light will shine even brighter as a shining star. So again, I ask you the question, is your light shining? That's our lesson for today. And I pray that it helps someone. And I want you guys to know we have just as many callers on the line tonight. And it's a holiday as we have on any ordinary day. And that's a blessing. And I thank each and every one of you for calling. We have a little more time left. And if anyone would like to sing, anyone would like to pray, please comment on the lesson. If someone want to talk about the goodness of God and what he's doing in his life, if someone have a praise report, if someone would like to give words of encouragement, you could press the one button on your phone at this time. And I'll open the mic. Yeah, the United States used to be considered a light in a dark place. But it seemed to be getting darker and darker day by day. But God is still in control. Caller, your number is 504-606. You may speak. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 504-606-24. I just don't see all of your number, but if that's the numbers in your phone number, you can speak now. The light came on. Maybe you didn't press the one. But if you would like to speak, you can do it at this time. Maybe they pressed it by error. Is there someone else who would like to say something at this time? This is all of our Bible study. This is a time that God has orchestrated and designed for us to come together and fellowship with one another with the Word of God. Well, again, I say thanks to each and every one of you, and I would like to say happy 4th of July to you guys, and if God says the same, and I want to thank you guys for calling, because I forgot to send the posted text information out early. I really thought I had sent it, but I was really busy, and I just realized today that's why I came late. But I'm going to be earlier for next week's lesson, if God say the same. But if anybody would like to say anything, this is the last chance for tonight. And I'm going to just close us in a benediction. And I, you know, want to thank God for the United States of America. You know? And we have to pray for our nation. We have to pray for the children and the families that's separated. We even have to pray for the president that God turn his heart around in the decisions that he's making. We have to pray for our liberties because they seem to be melting away day by day. But the victory is in Christ Jesus, and God is still in control, and God promised to take care of his own. So no matter what happens, God got you. Not only in this life, but all the way through eternity. And that's a reason to let your light shine. So as I close tonight, I would like everybody to just please grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service. It is now the 8:30 hour, and we have ended our lesson. I love each and every one of you, and I don't take this opportunity on Wednesdays lightly. I come with a spirit of expectancy and joy in my heart to be able to fellowship with you all on Wednesdays. You know, my week is not complete if I don't get to do this, and because of this, it gives me hope to keep going. So to each and every one of you, thank you, and I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And that's it for tonight. And be blessed. Good night.